All right, so today we're diving headfirst into 1918 with a collection of love letters from a young guy, Elmer. He was a dental student at Creighton University.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, head over heels for a school teacher named Helen.
I see. And what's so remarkable about these letters, Elmer's pouring his heart out to Helen, but he's unknowingly creating this time capsule of his life during a period of just immense change and uncertainty, right?
It's totally.
We're not just reading about history. We're like experiencing it.
Through his eyes.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, Elmer's life was anything but dull. Imagine juggling dental school, a looming war,
right,
and a long-distance relationship all at once. Talk about pressure.
Wow. Yeah.
So let's dive into his journey, starting with his experience as a dentist in training.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, even just his descriptions of his classes, like physiology and pathology, they offer this really unique window into early 20th century dental education. Can you imagine, like, learning about pyorrhea or crafting dentures with the tools and knowledge they had back then?
It's mind-boggling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially, you know that detail about him worrying over a missing bone block? Thank goodness for generous classmates, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But what really struck me was how driven Elmer was. Even amidst all the chaos,
right,
he clearly took pride in his work.
Yeah.
And you can almost feel his desire to succeed, not just for himself, but for Helen.
Absolutely. And that ambition, it shines through, especially in those accounts of him treating patients in the clinic, too.
Mm.
He describes treating a patient with pyorrhea, showcasing this, like, meticulousness.
Mm.
It even impressed a lady patient enough to request his card.
Wow. He was already building a reputation.
Yeah.
It speaks to this fascinating mix of ambition and deep romanticism. That just seems to define Elmer's personality.
Yeah, and that romanticism, oh my gosh, it just leaps off the page when he writes about Helen. The longing in his words, the way he constantly reassures her of his love and fidelity. Like, for instance, on January 5th, he writes, "Sweetheart, here I am alone with nothing to do but to think of you.
Oh.
How I long for that time to come when you and I will be together always."
It's incredibly tender.
It tugs at your heartstrings,
doesn't
it? That raw yearning for connection, especially with the specter of World War I hanging over everything. Which brings us to a pretty pivotal point in Elmer's story, the draft.
Oh, yeah. And this is where Elmer's personal anxieties really intersect with that larger historical context.
Okay.
You know, many young men, just like him, face this excruciating dilemma. The call of duty to their country versus this deep yearning to build a life with the women they loved.
Right. And Elmer doesn't shy away from expressing his apprehension at all. He mentions his classification card and that constant possibility of being called to service.
Right.
You can almost feel the weight of that uncertainty on his shoulders.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tension that just permeates his letters, right?
Mm.
On one hand, he's deeply in love, building a career, dreaming of this future with Helen. But then on the other hand, there's this looming possibility of having to put it all on hold to serve his country.
It makes you wonder, what sacrifices was he willing to make? How did this uncertainty shape his perspective on love and on life and on the future? Yeah. These are the questions that just make these letters so compelling. They pull us into Elmer's internal struggle, and they force us to really confront these complexities of a time when love and duty were so often at odds. And just when you think you're starting to, like, understand Elmer's heart, we stumble upon something that throws a real curveball into our understanding of his relationship with Helen.
You mean the mysterious anonymous letter that Elmer mentions receiving?
Yeah.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, this anonymous letter, it seems to have really shaken Elmer.
Yeah.
We don't know the contents, but judging by his reaction, it seems to have sown some, like, seeds of doubt and insecurity in his relationship with Helen.
He even questions Helen about it, but then he reassures her of his devotion. It's almost like he's trying to convince himself as much as her, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you think about the dynamics of their relationship and the level of trust they were building.
Yeah.
Amidst all this external chaos.
It's a fascinating psychological layer to uncover, right? This external pressure from the war, the fear of the unknown, and then this mysterious letter just adding fuel to the fire. It's no wonder he clung to his love for Helen as this anchor.
Yeah, and speaking of anchors, amidst all this turmoil, Elmer still manages to find those little moments of joy and normalcy in his everyday life. His letters offer these really wonderful glimpses into 1918 Omaha. He talks about dances at the fort, trips to the Orpheum and Brandeis theaters, even joyrides in Mr. Adkins's car.
It's so fascinating how he weaves these, like, seemingly mundane details into his letters. You know, he mentions the Central Bath Institute under new ownership. Even the manicurist, Edda LaBelle. Huh. It's like he's painting this picture of his life, inviting us to stroll down Dodge Street alongside him.
It's incredible. It's like time travel through his words. And those little details, they offer such valuable insight into the social fabric of the time,
right.
The businesses, the impact of the Spanish flu pandemic, which he mentioned, you know, forced the closure of public spaces, just like what we experienced not too long ago.
It's a stark reminder of the, like, cyclical nature of history, you know?
Yeah.
And how even in the face of these global events, life in its own way goes on. Elmer's letters really capture that beautifully, though. That interplay between the grand historical narrative and the intimate details of daily life.
And then comes the twist. Elmer gets called up for the Students' Army Training Corps.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Which adds just another layer of complexity to his story, really. His experiences in the SATC. They offer this firsthand account of what life was like for young men, preparing for potential deployment during World War I.
And he describes it all, the strict routines, the cramped quarters, the endless drills. He even talks about being on KP duty, stuck mopping floors instead of practicing dentistry.
Oh, no. You can almost hear the laughter in his voice when he recounts some of these anecdotes, though. Like, he jokes about how the military training will make him a model husband, used to taking orders and keeping things tidy.
Right. It really is that resilience, that ability to find humor in the face of uncertainty. That makes Elmer such an endearing character. But you're right. Beneath the jokes, you can sense this growing longing for Helen.
Oh, yeah. The separation definitely weighed on him. He mentions how much harder it is to write with 280 other men crammed into the barracks, you know.
Oh, wow.
Imagine trying to compose a heartfelt love letter amidst all that noise and chaos.
Yeah.
It must have felt impossible.
Yeah, definitely. And yet he perseveres. He holds on to that thread of connection with Helen. He even includes newspaper clippings in his letters, sharing these little snippets of the wider world with her.
Right. Like, those clippings are like little windows into the past, too. We see headlines about the war, local happenings in Omaha, even advertisements, you know, that give us a feel for daily life back then.
Yeah.
Okay. He even includes a poem, Old Glory, highlighting, like, the patriotic fervor.
Of course, yeah. And who could forget that satirical piece about Kaiser Wilhelm seeking advice from the devil?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about dark humor.
Right. It's this stark reminder that even in the midst of this global conflict, people still found ways to cope through humor and satire. It's really a testament to the, like, resilience of the human spirit.
Absolutely. It makes you realize that. Despite being separated by a century, we share so much with Elmer and his generation, that capacity for love, fear, hope, even laughter in the face of adversity.
Yeah, that's the magic of these letters, you know?
They
not only, like, transport us back to this specific time and place, but they reveal the timeless nature of human emotions, too.
Mm-hmm.
Elmer's anxieties about the future, his longing for love and connection, his determination to build a life for himself and Helen. Yeah. These are all experiences that resonate with us. Even now.
Yeah, absolutely. As we kind of reach the end of this deep dive into Elmer's world, I can't help but feel a sense of gratitude for these letters. They've given us a glimpse into a pivotal moment in history. But more importantly, they've reminded us of the power of personal stories and how they can connect us across generations.
Absolutely. And, you know, they challenge us to consider our own legacies, too. What will our letters, emails, or text messages reveal about us to future generations?
Right.
What stories will our belongings tell?
It's a thought-provoking question to end on. Elmer's letters, they're a time capsule, a testament to the enduring power of love and the human spirit. They remind us that history, it isn't just about dates and events. It's about the lives of individuals like Elmer and Helen, their dreams, their fears, and all the moments that shaped their journey. So the next time you come across an old letter or a photograph, take a moment to really look at it. You never know what stories might be waiting to be discovered, or what connections to the past you might find.